is also included in 7 other amendments to the Constitution. It's come under criticism because it is felt by the opponents that the second section would cause a takeover by the federal government of the state's rights to make laws. So I'd like to put that one to rest. The Council of State Governments, which is an organization of representatives of every state that get together just to be able to investigate such allegations, have put out this booklet called All Are Created Equal. And obviously, this organization was formed to preserve the rights of the states. And that council states unequivocally that the Equal Rights Amendment ought to be ratified and that definitely not, the federal government would not be restricting the state governments from making laws. They would only be restricting the state governments from making laws that discriminate on the basis of sex in the same way that they are restricted under similar anti-discrimination amendments. Who can go to the polls and equal protection under the 14th Amendment. It also only deals and only would affect areas of government. It would not change personal interrelationships between men and women. It would not have the effect of producing a unisex society where women could no longer be identified as women and men no longer as men. It has nothing to do with whether women are feminine or not, nor does it have anything to do with whether men will remain masculine, if anybody can define those terms for me. But it would only deal in the areas that have to do with government. So when we're talking about the Equal Rights Amendment, we're not talking about whether or not you can hold the door open for your girlfriend, or whether you want to hold the door open for your boyfriend, or anything like that. With regard to whether or not men will no longer be required by law to support their wives, first of all, in 1930, Justice Brandeis of the United States Supreme Court rendered an opinion with regard to a case, and in that case, he established what is called the rule of extension, which means that rather than denying one class of people on the basis of discrimination, that the privilege would be extended to the class of people not already afforded that privilege, the rule of extension. But further than that, and more important than that, although there is a law that says husbands have to support their wives, I would like for you to tell me how that law has any effect on the realities of everyday life. If you look at the amounts of money spent on aid to families with dependent children, and if you will talk to Adele Siegel Fast, and you will talk to any of the people involved with trying to track down husbands that have deserted their families, and how you can enforce a law that says a man must support his wife, I'd like to know. Even if you caught him and put him in jail, would that mean that he would be able to support his wife? Can you lead him to his job, make him work, and then forcibly take his money from him and give it to his wife and family? So please understand that when you hear that argument, it's a really fallacious argument, and it is fraught with all kinds of inequities, and certainly can't be related at all to what actually is a reality of life. Let me read something to you. It is a very serious fact that the doctrines of the industrial and political equality of women is an offshoot from that social democracy which uniformly insists that men shall be absolved from all domestic obligations, the state caring for such children as may be born. That is one of the arguments that you are hearing against the ERA. But do you know what I'm quoting from? I'm quoting from a newsletter of November 1900. That is a quote by a Mrs. Carolyn F. Corbin, president of the Illinois Association opposed to the extension of suffrage to women, which is the counterpart of the Florida Federation of Women for Responsible Legislation. They are saying exactly the same thing now. And that is a quote from 1900. Let me read you something else. So long as men believe themselves superior to women, and so long as women believe themselves inferior to men, both sexes will look with disfavor upon equality. More than that, they will misunderstand the nature of the claim and the motive of the claimants. It has been believed that the movement is antagonistic to men, a reform against nature, an effort to put women into men's places to do men's work, a scheme to destroy the home and break up the family. People will learn that what we want is cooperation, not conflict, harmony, not discord, nobler manners and purer laws, a permanent political revival in behalf of good government, better opportunities for men, women, and children in the future. Does that sound like something that the pro-ERA people would be saying? Well, it is, except that it was said in 1897. In 1897, because of the fallacious arguments, which are very familiar to us, against the Equal Suffrage Amendment. What I'm trying to say is, try and look through what I call the Chicken Little mentality. You know the story of Chicken Little? Something fell on the chicken's head and he was convinced that the sky was falling and went racing around the farmyard and warning everybody about imminent doom. The sky is falling. And all that happened was a pea fell on his head. Well, I think that that is exactly what has been happening in this country with regard to the Equal Rights Amendment. Doom has been predicted. Chaos has been predicted. Let me remind you that the Equal Rights Amendment passed the Congress in an overwhelming majority after 50 years of it being deliberated in committee and on the floor of the Congress. The platform of the National Republican and National Democratic parties includes ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment. The past 5 presidents have supported ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment, and make no mistake, in exactly the same form as you see it now, contrary to what some of the opponents will claim, in exactly the same manner. Let me tell you who's against the Equal Rights Amendment. By the way, I read a very funny article wherein a minister was outraged because the proponents of Equal Rights Amendment are trying to make the anti-ERA people out to be communists. I thought that was really funny because it seems to me that I've been hearing it the opposite way around, that ERA is a communist plot. Well, the Communist Party is against the Equal Rights Amendment. The Ku Klux Klan is against the Equal Rights Amendment. The John Birch Society is against the Equal Rights Amendment. As a matter of fact, I think the John Birch Society is a communist front organization. Well, it's the first time I've seen them agree on anything like this. Obviously, something's wrong. So I ask you to consider that the Equal Rights Amendment was not passed in Congress hastily, nor did the men in Congress give in to pressure, because I assure you, and you know very well, that 50 years does not mean that they have been overly pressured. It means they have been very deliberative. Does that mean I'm finished, or I have a warning?
You've got 3 seconds.
3 seconds. Goodbye, folks.
That's all. Senator.
Elaine, distinguished members of the Tiger Bay Club. Elaine, I just simply say that the American Communist Party is at odds with the Russian Communist Party because they do have an Equal Rights Amendment in Russia that allows women to work in the fields, ride the garbage trucks, and participate in combat. We all want equal pay for equal work. I don't think there's any doubt about that. We all want more women in government and in professions and in business. The question is, do we want a broad sweeping constitutional amendment to bring this about? And I don't think we do. The proposed amendment, according to Professor Friend of Harvard, imposes a single standard on men and women. It eliminates all legal distinctions between the sexes, and it creates absolute equality under the law between the sexes. This absolute equality will involve all areas. And when I say that, I mean the marriage and the family, obligations of support, and the military service, among other things. Because the ERA's unforeseeable and uncertain ramifications, many constitutional scholars have opposed its adoption. These scholars include the late Roscoe Pound, former dean of the Harvard Law School, the late Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter, Professor Paul Friend of Harvard, and also Sam Ervin, who we've all heard a lot about, who is a former Supreme Court Justice on the North Carolina Supreme Court, who coined the word unisex amendment or description. Justice Felix Frankfurter spoke of the ERA as follows, and I quote from a statement he made, "Only those who are ignorant of the nature of law and its enforcement and regardless of the intricacies of American constitutional law or indifference to the exacting aspects of woman's industrial life will have the naivety or the recklessness to sum up a woman's whole position in a meaningless and mischievous phrase about equal rights." Professor Friend of Harvard, in a recent Law Journal article, Harvard Law Journal article, says, "The proposed amendment attempts to impose a single standard of sameness on the position of the sexes in all the multifarious roles regulated by law, marital support, parental obligations, social security, industrial employment, activities in public schools, and the military service, among other things." Now let's look at some of the potential ramifications of the ERA. Nobody can really predict all of them. Federal quotas could be forced on businesses and government for the hiring of women. Now, quotas have proven to be unsatisfactory and unworkable. Child labor laws and industrial standards could not have any differentiation between men and women. Legal requirements, presumptions in the law coming from the common law that the husband provide his wife and children with necessities would be, of course, invalid. And these do have teeth, and we have a Uniform Reciprocal Support Act in Florida that does have teeth and does require husbands to support their families. The right to operate separate single-sex schools would no longer be allowed because you can't have any distinction based on sex. I believe that any prohibition against homosexual marriages would be invalid. And I notice that the NOW group is a big advocate of freeing the lesbians. The legal presumption that a wife takes her husband's name would be invalid, and that the child takes the father's last name would also be invalid. Now, can you imagine the chaos in business and government in collecting vital statistics? I don't know what they do in Latin America, but I know what we've done in this country for over 200 years. A prohibition against publishing the name of a raped woman would be invalid because that is a distinction based on sex, a protection that a woman has. Now, a separate restroom argument is very controversial. But I'm not going to argue this except one thing. I want to quote Professor Phil Curran, because I think he's a lot more knowledgeable than I am, who is the editor of the Supreme Court Review and professor of law at University of Chicago. And he said this in response to Senator Ervin's questions before the Judiciary Committee. "The law which exists in North Carolina," this is Senator Ervin asking, "the law which exists in North Carolina and virtually every other state of the Union, which requires separate restrooms for boys and girls in public schools, would be nullified, would it not? Professor Curran, that is right, unless the separate but equal doctrine is revived." Now, that's not McLean, that's somebody else saying that. Senator Ervin said, "And the laws of the states and regulations of the federal government which require separate restrooms for men and women in public buildings would be nullified, would it not?" Professor Cohen, "My answer would be the same. Separate prisons for men and women would be unconstitutional. Florida does provide for separation of the sexes, as the law now exists." Of course, the ERA would have a dramatic impact on the military. We fought 8 major wars in the last 200 years, and we have had the draft. Heretofore, it hasn't applied to women. And Yale Law Journal, which the proponents cite and advocate, clearly say that men and women would be drafted on an equal basis. They don't dispute that. They further say that whichever is called first, the man or the woman would go, and of course the remaining parent would stay with the children. Women who bear children in the armed service, they of course simply say they could put their children in daycare centers. Women would be subjected to combat just as men. Now, the ERA, if it had been effective in 1960, the following would be a fact. 1.3 million women served in Vietnam. This is what would have happened. Of these, 22,970 were killed in combat. 150,317 were wounded. 283 were captured, and 681 are still missing in action. Those figures are exactly one half of the total men who served were killed, wounded, captured, or missing in Vietnam. Now, the Maryland experience, I could go into that. I won't, but They passed or ratified the ERA amendment up there, and then when they started trying to implement it by statute, the very women who wanted it said, please, don't give us that. We don't want these statutes. They always talk about the Oath of Allegiance in an argument about the fact that a citizen, to become a citizen of the United States, has to say that they will bear arms in the, on behalf of the United States. But they don't say when required by law, and Congress has not required this by law. Then, of course, is Section 2. Congress shall have the power to enforce this. Congress, not the several states. So who is really going to enforce this? It's clear that Section 2 takes away from the states the right to govern their own internal affairs. Opponents say, don't worry, there's seven other amendments that do this. Well, five involve voting. One involves the income tax, and everybody knows what that did. And the other involves the 14th Amendment. We had busing, prayer in schools, as well as the death penalty decision. Whether you agree or disagree with this, it shows the power that is going to the federal government. And this, I think, is important. The bottom of the line is, do we need the ERA? My time is running out, but I simply say we have the Civil Rights Act of 1964. We have the Equal Employment Act of 1963. We have the Educational Amendments Act of 1972. All prohibit distinct discrimination based on sex. The ERA is not self-executing. Court battles will still be fought. The courts will be log jams with lawsuits, and I think you'll have more chaos than you can ever imagine. I just close by saying, and quote from Roscoe Pound, the following. If anything about this proposed amendment is clear, it is that it would transform every provision of law ultimately concerning women into a constitutional issue ultimately to be resolved by the Supreme Court of the United States. Every statutory and common law provision dealing with the manifold relation of women in society would be forced to run the gauntlet of attack on constitutional grounds. The range of such potential litigation is too great to be readily foreseen. I choose to join Professor Roscoe Pound, the late Roscoe Pound, and others in opposing the ERA.
Rebuttal time. 3 minutes.
Are we going ahead?
And then there'll be question and answer.
No
wrap-up? No wrap-up. Not really.
I'm very interested to find out if you're in favor of enslaving lesbians. You know, I like the way people talk about my... Well, you know, you talk about my organization, but you didn't bother to ask me what
to... What do you want me to read from your pamphlet?
That is not the resolution that was passed. Don't take up my 3 minutes, David! I also received a very funny letter from someone who said that probably the reason that men are all shook up about the concept of possibly sharing bathrooms with women is that women will finally discover that not men, all men are created equal. Let me tell you that same myth. I didn't say it. Don't give me the credit for it. Sameness is not equality. Same does not mean equal. 4 and 3 equals 6 and 1, but 4 and 6 are not the same, and 1 and 3 are not the same. So don't listen to that hogwash. And the list of all of these great minds, you know, that opposed the Equal Rights Amendment, take a look at the congressional record in the Senate and the House and find out the longer list of great minds that'll tell you don't worry about it. Of course the Supreme Court has made rendered decisions and in effect has told us what laws to enact because the states refused to act, because the states abrogated their responsibility, not because the Supreme Court took away that responsibility. We're seeing it right now with collective bargaining. So the Equal Rights Amendment will not remove that responsibility. As far as Supreme Court decisions, they can be brought under the 14th Amendment now, and it'll go on and on and on and on. The Equal Rights Amendment will curtail that kind of thing. The 2 years hiatus before the law becomes into effect is for that very reason, for the states to act and take the responsibility they should have taken all along. And that is enacting laws that do not discriminate on the basis of sex. It doesn't mean that there will be no distinctions between sex, that men and women will be the same. It says there will be no discrimination solely on the basis of a person's sex. That's what it says. Not that there will be no legal distinctions. And all of the greater minds on the longer list that I have than he has points that out very, very well. I feel that you should trust to the real glory of what the Constitution is all about and what it was meant to do, And one of the things it allowed for is exactly what we are proposing now, an amendment that will once and for all finally give a mandate to the people and the states that it's time that all people be treated equally before the law.
You notice the napkins are red to cover the blood.
Well, let me just simply say, as I said before, I kind of went hurriedly because I wanted to come within my 10 minutes. But Elaine says, don't worry, trust me. You know, you can trust me. Don't worry about the ramifications of this. Well, let me tell you what happened in Maryland. I just touched on it. In Maryland, they ratified the ERA. There's no question about the fact that it was ratified in Maryland, although their resolutions to rescind it, as well as, I think, five other states, and Nebraska has rescinded their ratification. But they passed, or they offered a bill. These were finally tabled because the very proponents who wanted the ERA said, no, we didn't want to go this far. We didn't mean that. We didn't mean that. There was a bill, Senate Bill 293, a bill authorizing the court to require a wife to make weekly support payments to her husband and children, just as the court is now empowered to require this of the husband. Now, some of the men in here may go for that, but I don't think most of you do. Senate Bill 397, a bill which eliminates the right of female prisoners to have separate facilities in county jails, correction or detention houses, and reformatories. Senate Bill 304, filed in Maryland, a bill to integrate male and female criminals of all ages in state prisons. No provision is made for separate sleeping or other quarters. A bill, Senate Bill 327, a bill to integrate boys and girls in state training and rehabilitation institutions. Another bill, Senate Bill 457, a bill to authorize the use of women prisoners for labor in public roads if they are physically able to work. You know, the bottom of the line, as I say, is it necessary? You've had decisions under the 14th Amendment, the Reed case, the Frontiero case, the Reed case, held that a preference in the Idaho law for one sex over the other to be the administrator was unconstitutional and arbitrary and violated the 14th Amendment. In the Frontiero case, which is the 5th Amendment, but under the Due Process Clause of the 5th Amendment, which the 14th is patterned after, they let a member of the armed forces, a woman, her dependents, have the same rights as male members of the armed forces. You don't need the Equal Rights Amendment. You're opening up a Pandora's box. And I don't think any of us, including Elaine, as smart as she is, can predict its outcome. Thank you.
Thank both of you. It comes time now for question and answer. But first, a little reward you might use to defend yourself with.
He's on the other side of the hall.
Now, we're going to take questions and answers. Please limit the questions to questions and not speeches. And remember that you can direct it to either one, but the other one will have a right to answer it too. I see a hand way back. Tony, Mr. Past President.
Well, is there a difference between women's lib and equal rights amendment?
Good question.
Ask him first, you know.
Would you like to answer that, sir? Would you like to answer that, Representative?
Why don't you answer, Bob?
Alphonse? Yes and no.
No. I even have something graphic to show you about that, I think. Yes. Okay. You know what the WCTU is? It's the Women's Christian Temperance Union. And the Women's Christian Temperance Union was one of the first organizations to promote ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment over 50 years ago. And this article says WCTU, forerunner of Women's Lib. Let me tell you that ERA and Women's Lib are two so entirely different concepts that I can't really understand how anybody puts it together. If you could see the list of organizations that have been working for this bill to be this amendment for over 50 years, you could understand that if one thing has nothing to do with the other, except for the fact that when the so-called women's liberation movement got started again in 1966, it too recognized the need for ratification of the ERA. But way before that, the National Women's Party, the WCTU. I assure you, B'nai B'rith has nothing to do with Women's Lib, and they support ratification of the ERA. The past five presidents certainly are not, I know they're not members of my organization, and they don't have any identity with the Women's Lib. The only connection is that members, and there are many, many organizations that come under this women's liberation movement thing. The only connection is that all of them just seem to believe that there is a need for the Equal Rights Amendment.
Well, let me say this. I don't know all the women livers that are for this. I think 99, like Ivory, so 0.4% are, whatever it is. But I do think that the NOW group is a women lives group or a feminist group, and certainly they're for it. But I think that there's something that should be clarified, and it hasn't been clarified. Many of the groups that Elaine alludes to as supporting the ERA supported back years ago when they had what's called the Hayden Amendment. Now, the Hayden Amendment was an amendment that was added on to the Equal Rights Amendment, which is no longer in the proposed one, that said that women's rights and privileges are not to be repealed, in effect. In other words, they can still stand. And the real hardcore ERA proponents had that taken out, and it's not in the present proposal. So I don't know what a lot of these women groups would do that supported it years ago, like the WCTU, which is, you know, let's face it, that's an ancient organization.
But they're still supporting.
Now, let's talk about some of the groups that are opposed to this. We've heard about all the feminist groups that are for it. The National Coalition for Accountability, the National Stop ERA, the Leadership Foundation, the Council of Catholic Women, the Southern Baptist Association, membership 33,000 churches, Church Women United. I mean, I can go down the list. Rabbinical Society of America, National Association of Pro Women, I guess the Professional Women's Group. There are a lot of groups I could go down, and what does that prove? The point is, the women today who feel that they're discriminated against have proper recourse in the courts under the federal legislation that I mentioned. I would say with the statutes that they have today, they have, it's like Professor Froning says, there's less reason to have the ERA now than there was years ago, because they do have these federal statutes. They do have the Equal Rights, Civil Rights Act. They do have the Equal Pay Act. They do have the Educational Amendments Act. And of course, in Florida, you've heard about the little ERA, which we passed and which I co-sponsored. But let's not take a broad shotgun approach to this and pass an amendment, and we can do these things by statute. What confounds me is that Congress, it took two-thirds of Congress to put this out. It takes three-fourths of the states to ratify it. If Congress is so damn concerned about women's discrimination, why don't they do it by statute? If the state legislatures, three-quarters, want to stop discrimination against women, why don't they do it by statute?
Have you answered the question, or are you still making another speech?
Both.
I want equal time.
You gotta learn. When you got the podium, you gotta use it. But I just simply say to you,
I hope I get
the Reed case, which I mentioned, was decided on the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment is available, but the Arrow case involving the armed services and the dependence of female and male members, it was decided under the Due Process Clause of the Fifth Amendment, and you just don't need it, and don't open up the Pandora's box. I'm telling you, one of these days, if it is ratified, those that oppose it can say, I told you so.
Can we have a question that will call for a yes or no answer? let's get up. There's a female, please. No, over there. Yeah. I'm sorry. Well, I couldn't see beyond that light.
I just wonder if you would discuss the discriminatory Social Security laws and how it would be affected by the
Discuss the Social Security laws and how it'll be affected by the ERA, and we'll see you next week. Go ahead, Elaine.
Right. I'm going to have people bring in some dinner for all of you folks. Okay, well, of course, because of the rule of extension that I spoke of before, the Equal Rights Amendment would extend the same privileges under the Social Security Act to widowers that it now extends to widows. And I want you to understand that Congresswoman Martha Griffiths determined that the men in this state are denied to the tune of $500 million because, as widowers, they are not, don't have the opportunity to collect widowers' benefits through their spouse's Social Security fund. But it would also change a few other things. For instance, there are no laws on the books in the federal government that protect people in public accommodations. And the most recent case, which was only a few months ago in the state of Louisiana, the Supreme Court refused to hear a case of a woman that was ejected from a men's cocktail lounge in the Newmont Leone Hotel in New Orleans, even though she was a registered guest, refused to hear it on the grounds they had already heard a case of a black man that wanted membership in a private club, the Elks Club. Now, that's the case in point. When a person purports to apply for a license to deal with the public, it should not have the right to say only half the public, because then that's what the license should say. And what that hotel in effect did was discriminate solely on the basis of sex and refuses to serve half the public, and the Supreme Court would not hear the case. And they held it the same as a private club on a race case. That's why we need the Equal Rights Amendment.
I think that Elaine, I know she is well-intentioned and sincere, but kind of overstated the case. I wouldn't bank on Social Security laws being what benefits women have over men, being extended to men if this passes. First place, all of you know that the Social Security pension fund, or the fund, has been used, it's been rated, and I'm not confident in my own mind that it is a sound financial base for Social Security, especially extending the increased benefits that women get to men. So don't bank on it. I think that was the answer to the question.
Thank you. Go ahead, Anna. Leah?
I'm going back and ask for that. I thought that the Physical Association that I want to check it out, but I do want to just throw in something for Elaine, that the National Council of Jewish Women and the National Jewish Board Members Auxiliary are both in favor of ERA.
Thank you for your question.
Do you know?
I have two fast questions for the Senator.
One,
were any of those bills passed in Maryland, of those crazy bills? Yes or no?
Can I answer?
Yes or no, the man wants.
Well, the question is, they were tabled because of the opposition of the very women that wanted the ratification of the ERA.
Isn't tabling the same as canceling?
Oh, yes, it was tabled.
Okay.
You know what? We don't know what we're talking about.
This is an even more important question. Take a few more words. Do you know of any Russian woman who invaded Hungary with the Russian army, although they had the equal, as you said, equal rights in the armed forces, of the millions of Russians who invaded?
I don't know if the Senator knows any Russian women.
If he knows, his wife doesn't know about it.
That's right. All I know is accounts I have, you know, just like you and I are about the same age. She read the papers in those days. Women did fight in the Russian army. They did fight.
Give John McDermott.
Mr. McDermott.
I'd like to ask Representative Gordon, why is it that the Nixon administration, the big oil companies,
aren't supporting
the ERA?
Equal guess.
Well, I got to tell you that Nixon is supporting the ERA, but the big oil companies are very, very much opposed to the ERA. And the reason is because it will certainly continue to impose upon them and certainly stir their conscience to the understanding that they are going to have to comply to equal pay and equal opportunity and equal employment and all of the rest, and it's going to cost them a lot of money. So I cannot envision that any of the large corporations are actively supporting ERA. As a matter of fact, President Nixon isn't even actively supporting ERA. He just is sitting up in his ivory tower and throwing it in every now and then when he makes a report with regard to the State of the Nation. And in fact, he made it in his last State of the Nation address because he's not too happy with the State of the Nation not recognizing that more than half the population is being discriminated
against. So what effect will Watergate have on the ERA?
Well, please keep in mind that there were no women involved.
I think I saw one woman plumber on television, wasn't there? There was one woman plumber on television.
She was not involved. She just typed up some tapes that weren't there.
Commander?
Senator, you made reference to a number of legal authorities who are against the Legal Rights Amendment. If you purposely omit the American Bar Association, which has come out approving the Legal Rights Amendment, and all of the members of the legal profession who are honored members of that association.
No, I didn't purposely omit it, but I don't always agree with all the... I don't know if you've been involved with the Bar Association like I have, but they had their little cliques too. And I don't agree with everything the American Bar Association endorses. I think the people are important, though. And according to Elmo Roper, in a September 71 poll, 77% of the American women disagree that women should have equal treatment regarding the draft. 83% of the American women disagree a wife should be the breadwinner if a better wage earner than the husband. 7 out of 10 American women do not feel that they are being discriminated against. Look at the women that are for this. In many cases, they have had some bad experiences. Many that pre-exist some of these congressional acts that we now have to give them recourse and redress in the courts. But, let's face it, let's be honest with each other. Both sides can cite this group or that group, this man, that man. You're all going to have to... Well, really, the legislature is going to have to make its mind up collectively. I have a point of view, and I'm sure Elaine it feels just as strongly as I do. And, we can cite statistics and this poll or that poll or this group or that group.
Yeah, he's right. We really should not call upon these lists because, especially since my lists are longer and more impressive. But besides the... American Bar and the Florida Bar, I would like for you to also understand that the new Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the state of Florida is lecturing in support of the ERA, and so is the new head of the Division of Labor of the Department of Commerce of the state of Florida.
And don't forget the most famous bar, the boys down at Maury's.
Maury's is close.
Don't bank on Congress because my information is that the Social...
What's the question?
I guess the thrust of the question is if the ERA passes, what would be the changes in the Social Security benefits? My only response to that is that I don't think this Social Security Fund is that financially sound from what I read and hear, and I wouldn't count or bank on Congress extending those benefits that women may have over men to men. If anything, they may level them off to where the men are. But again, nobody has a crystal ball, and for somebody to come up here and tell you they know what Congress is going to do, they're just not being honest with you. But I just wouldn't count on it.
Senator,
yes.
Do you think you can pin it down one way or the other? Are you opposed to the ERA because it's an unnecessary piece of legislation, or are you opposed because of the possible negative impacts it might have psychologically on society or whatever?
I am opposed to the ERA because I don't think you need a broad, sweeping amendment to do what needs to be done. We should have legislation to eliminate discrimination, and I'm afraid of the long-range effects of an equal rights amendment, what it would do to society and to the family, the basic unit of our society. So it's twofold. And I think that women can have protection under the 14th Amendment and certainly under the 5th Amendment, and they do now. I don't believe in opening up a Pandora's box. I think this lady over here had her hand up. In the back, I can't see.
Well, we're kind of running out of time is our big problem.
Well, I wish we had more time for questions. I enjoyed being here with you.
Okay, we're kind of running out of time. Anybody want to ask questions later? But I will do one discrimination. I'm going to shake your hand, and I'm going to kiss Elaine.
You'll never eliminate that. There are women.
Secretary of State.
Okay, Senator,
I'd like to ask you a question.
Excuse me. Go ahead, Elizabeth, please.
So I just like to ask the senator one thing. When they asked us to pay Social Security, do women not pay the same amount on their salaries as men?
Yes, they get more.